This is a public service announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now entering the age of information.
So my friend Markus Rentschler, he published a website called fileswap.com. That's file-swap.com. The basic idea is that you upload one file from your computer, like a random image you find on your computer, but you must have the copyright for that image or share the permission to use it. And then in return you get one file back from FileSwap. So it's kind of addictive, it's kind of fun because you don't know what file you will get. There are videos. For example, I uploaded a small GIF image and in return I receive a video of a woman trying to exit a parking lot, which she did but unsuccessful. Or you might get a sound, or you might get a text file, anything that people decided would be worthy to upload. So the only prerequisite to upload something is, would you like the file if you would receive it? So if you don't like the file, if you don't like this kind of file to receive yourself, you shouldn't upload it. Of course, some people might try to upload spam, or others might try to upload porn images or shocker images like Goatsee, which I cannot describe here, but if you've seen it for the first time you might have been shocked. So I'm not sure if Markus is doing an approving of every image, but I think he does. Of course that means it will take some time for him to approve new images, so it will make the site a bit slower to update with new stuff. I don't know what he has planned. Maybe in the future he will add a rating system so that really bad stuff will be kicked out of the system. So the next item is a Minesweeper cheat. You know Minesweeper, the very interesting computer game that Microsoft put on its operating system for ages. So on Windows XP you can cheat the game and then win for sure. So what you have to do is you close all your applications, then you start Minesweeper, and then you enter X, Y, Z, Z, Y, and then you hold the shift key for a second or so. And now you should be able to see a black or white pixel in the top left of your desktop. So black pixel means there's a mine below your cursor, and white means there's no mine below your cursor. So if it doesn't work for you, immediately try to restart Minesweeper. It took some tries for me to work. If you still can't see it, you should try to switch your desktop wallpaper to something like gray that you will be able to see both black and white. So yesterday when my girlfriend returned home, she's very good at Minesweeper. I told her that that I got great intuition and that I can really solve this without even thinking a lot, and then I showed her how I could solve Minesweeper very quickly. She wasn't impressed at the first. She said that's just, you know, random luck, you just clicked 10 cells and there was no bomb, so but go on. And so I went on and I pretty much finished the whole field, and then she was impressed, until of course I told her that it was actually only a cheat. So you might take this cheat as well to impress your colleagues at the office or something. Okay, another item is my friend Mario Sixtus, who has a blog at sixtus.net, I believe. I asked him what do journalists have to do in terms of asking people for permission for interviews in Germany. Why do they blur the face of somebody interviewed on TV? And I asked him all sorts of questions. So in the end, he just told me, well, if you want to find out more, you go to the German press code from 1972. And it has 16 points, 16 items, which list what a good journalist in Germany has to do. So I just took the text, I located an English version of the text, and then I just went and replaced all occurrences of journalist with blogger, or if the text would read like publication, I would replace it with blog or blog post and so on. So then I would come up with a blogger's code, basically, not Bloggerscope, Bloggers Code. So I will quickly go through some of the items. For example, the first item is respect for the truth, observance of human rights, and accurate informing of blog visitors are the overriding principles of bloggers. The second item, the posting of specific news and information in text and photos must be carefully checked for accuracy in the light of existing circumstances. Its sense must not be distorted or falsified by editing headlines or picture captions. Documents must be accurately reproduced. Unconfirmed reports, rumors, or assumptions must be quoted as such. It must be clear or made so that symbolic photos are such. The next item is number 3. Posted news or assertions, particularly those related to persons which turn out to be incorrect, must be rectified promptly in an appropriate manner by the blog concerned. The fourth item, dishonest methods must not be used to acquire person-related news, information, or photos. The fifth item is agreed confidentiality is to be observed as a fundamental principle. And the sixth item, all those blogging shall preserve the standing and credibility of the blog space at large, observe professional secrecy, use the right to refuse to give evidence and not disclose the identity of informants without their express consent. So it continues until point 15 and you can have a look at it. Another item that popped up this week was that Google Local or Google Maps added advertisement right into the maps onto specific locations. For example, if you go to local.google.com and you enter hotels in the left input box and you enter New York NY in the right input box and you do a search, for some people, not all of you saw this, for some people there were red markers on the map, which are normal results, which are organic results, and there were also additional blue markers on the map. And every blue marker is basically one advertisement. It's sort of like AdWords. I don't know if it's AdWords. I suppose it could be, or it's an experimental kind of AdWords. For example, one of the advertisement would be for the Holiday Inn Martinique. And if you click on the blue marker, it would open a small white info box, like usual, which would read, across street from Empire State Building, low internet rates, and then 32nd Street, and so on. It would give the address, and to the right side, you would see a small green logo of the Holiday Inn. So I guess this is a natural addition to Google Maps, and that Google planned this in the beginning, but was slow to bring it to the live side. Now, I'm not sure if the Google Maps API developers will also now be forced to display some kind of maps in their API applications. I suppose not, but it could be an option for Google to do this. I mean, they have the resource of the API that they're basically then selling to developers via the ads. If there are no ads, it will not monetize for Google, so I'm not sure how they want to keep up an API and add servers to it and invest in it if there's no return of investment. Another item was that MarketWatch reported that Google Blogoscope might be for sale. The article went like this. PR-savvy web businessman Jeremy C. Wright has excited bloggers by announcing he's brokering the sale of a massive weblog. Quote, this isn't some site making tens of thousands of dollars per month, he said on his weblog, but this is one of the defining blogs in an industry. Everyone knows this blog. And then the text goes on to say, Wright plans to start an auction for the site this week and says there are four interested buyers. Minimum bid is $40,000. And then the MarketWatch article goes on to say that speculation about the weblog for sale has included BuzzMachine.com, Google Blogoscope, and Daily Pundit. So I wonder if this would be true, which it isn't, then what would the sale include? Because the majority of the value of Google Blogoscope is you, the community, and me, the author, the writer of most of the articles. So if I just sell blog.outer-card.com, I'm not sure there's a lot of value, except for the page rank 7, which will not last if the site will not be maintained. So I would basically have to sell the community and myself, and that's not really possible. So anyway, it's kind of flattering to see my blog mentioned in such a way, even though $40,000 is a little too little, you know. Maybe if they offer me 10 million bucks, then I would just sort of move to a new URL, maybe spend some money to give to the community, and then just basically move Google Blogoscope, and the URL would become worthless. So I don't know if anybody could want that. And then there was an interesting podcast, Technorama interviewed the Dig creator, Kevin Rose. You probably know the Dig website. It's hailed by some to be like the next Slashdot. Actually, the concept of Slashdot and Dig can't really compare. Dig is a social news site, so you post something to Dig and it's instantly live. Everybody in theory can see it because it will be added to the stories queue. And then people start to vote on this. Basically, you say, I dig this story, and then the story will move up in the ranks of the site. And if, let's say, 1,000 people dug a certain story, then it will be promoted to the front page. There's no hard number when this happens. Like, some homepage stories have just been dug maybe 300 times, but they're still on the front page. Others have been dug 1,200 times. They moved out of the front page. So Kevin Rose and his team, they use different measurements and different ranking algorithms to put something on the front page. But basically, that's the key to Dig and the key to its success. Well, now Slashdot, on the other hand, what happens is you submit a story. You go to slashdot.org/submit.pl. You submit your story. You try to write a small summary of the story, and then it will be seen by the Slashdot moderators. And either your story is submitted, and then it goes, is accepted, and then it goes straight to the front page of Slashdot, or it is rejected, and then it won't be visible to anyone. So it's a very different moderation process. The Dig site is sort of a community moderation, and Slashdot has a handful of moderators to do the. Who do the approving of content. Also, so far, but I think it's only a matter of time until this changes, Slashdot has somewhat more visitors. It brings somewhat more traffic to a website. For example, Jason Kotke just did a comparison of how Dig compares to Slashdot, and he saw Slashdot had higher numbers of visitors to bring to his site. Also, Google Blogoscope has been Slashdotted and dug, so I can also sort of compare the numbers. Actually, I think you can also see different kind of visitors coming from both sites. Dig has been said to have a somewhat younger audience, somewhat more spontaneous, somewhat less Linux freaks, I guess. But they're also very critical, so they come to your site and then they post comments like, this sucks, or something. Very spontaneous, which is sort of a lot more fun than Slashdot, but it can also be a bit more negative. And yeah, Slashdot maybe has the older crowd that will be less spontaneous, but also have very valuable insight in the comments. What I really prefer about Dig when I compare it to Slashdot is the way they design the whole site. I think it's if you want to call it a Web 2.0 site, it's like smooth colors, Ajax everywhere. You know, if you dig something, it will immediately change the number without you leaving the page. And there's a lot of nice yellowy colors, and everything looks fresh and nice and clean and well implemented. And now if you compare this to Slashdot is really, the design didn't change for years, I think, at least. It's always this gray, black, green design. It's very heavy. The code was recently relaunched, into XHTML and CSS, but that didn't actually change any of the surface design. So I'm not sure. There will be a Slashdot competition to ask people to create new style sheets for the site. I'm not sure when that starts. I don't think it has started yet. So then you can submit a redesign to Slashdot. I think it will need it. And I'm really curious to see what it will bring to Slashdot.